program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, we're coming today to the end, really, of the National Day of Prayer. Our prayers should not cease, of course, but this is the National Day of Prayer, a day set aside, federally recognized as a day of prayer for our nation and for all those involved in all of our everyday lives. And you had a big part in that recognition today at the Hope Center.
I was honored. I always consider it a privilege anytime, almost anytime I'm asked to do anything that can help people, or to sing or speak, whatever it is. The Battle Hymn of the Republic is a very challenging piece to sing, but I do it with four key changes, and so to the highest ability that I can make it. Anyway, I say highest, please understand. I sing in the key of Z flat, and right now you can hear it
because I can go way down here.
Because I had this thing all last week, and I thought, oh, I wasn't sure what I could do. But anyway, let me tell you what I said before I sang the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Now, what is the battle hymn? Well, it's known for glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. And that's God's truth. And it's amazingly spiritual, the song is. And because of that repetition of his truth is marching on, his truth is marching on. By the way, this has been used politically. This was used freedom for the slaves. It's been used in many contexts throughout history. But I said, and if those who've listened to this program will pick up where I'm coming from, I said these words, and I had only 1 minute, and so this is about 1 minute to say. Jesus said, the truth sets you free. So today, what truth do we need to know? Sadly, there's a problematic movement called the cancel culture. Anything you've said or done in the past that a certain group thinks is wrong can and will be used against you. Therefore, a statue of Abraham Lincoln is torn down. Or another statue is, if you will, defaced, paint all over it. The name Lincoln High School is canceled. Well, I have great news for us today. The cancel culture cancels. The Christian culture cancels the cancel culture. The Christian culture cancels the cancel culture. And at that, there were people who started, they were smiling big, and now, and a number started clapping. And I said, based on the sacrifice of our Savior on the cross, he paid the ultimate price for all our sin, past, present, and future. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, giving him control of our lives, we are forgiven and set free. And he remembers our sin no more. That's all based on Scripture. So what truth do we know? What truth do we need to know now? The Christian culture cancels the cancel culture. So let's praise God for his truth that sets us free. And then I went into, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And that's Jesus. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning from his powerful swift sword. His truth is marching on. So just want you to know that there are so many that came up and said, I've never thought about it that way. But it's true. What we're saying is, okay, there is such a thing as the cancel culture. But the good news, the great news, the amazing news is this is not at all where Jesus has had any focus. In fact, his whole focus was to forgive our sin. He paid the penalty for our sin. That's what justification is. It's some people use the phrase justification just as if I've never sinned. Well, we have all sinned, but Jesus paid the price for us, and it's looking forward. It's not looking back. It's what he's going to make of us. What he's going to literally do in us, to us, and through us. That's what I consider is the highest purpose for us all, for you and me. His highest purpose is Romans 8:29. We are, quote, predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. We are predestined to be conformed to the character of Christ. All of that is forward. It is present and forward. It's not canceling people because of something they did years ago, something they said years or months ago. It is literally enabling us to be all that he created us to be. That is the focus of Christianity. That's the focus of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. In order to help you do that, our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE, and they can help guide you to God's hope through our resources that will help you to get some things, get some understanding about things in your life as they relate to God's Word and His truth applied to what's going on in your life, and then as you can turn and help someone else with something that might be happening in their life, maybe something similar to what you dealt with. Well, call customer support. They are available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central. That number again, 800-488-4673. Now, if you would like to speak with June Hunt about a specific situation in your life, and you'd like to do that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, we welcome your call at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. When you call, just leave us a detailed message so we can get back to you as soon as possible and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. Let's get to tonight's caller, calling from Texas, and she usually listens online. Tonight we have Sarah.
Well, hello, Sarah. So glad you're with us.
Hi, Ms. Hunt.
How can we help you? You can just call me June.
Okay. It's a blessing to be able to talk to you tonight.
Thank you, Sarah. What's going on?
Yes, ma'am. I guess I'm having a hard time recognizing God's will for my life and staying in the situation. It's my marriage of 10 years, and it involves domestic violence. You know, it pretty much started, I guess, maybe from the time that I got married. But the occurrences are like, you know, they're usually like maybe a year or two spread apart. And so I guess that cycle and the time that lapses in between, I guess, is what allows me to stay in it or, you know, to be able to tolerate it or withstand it. And honestly, I was thinking about it before our call, and I was like, one of the things that I reflect back on whenever I would think about, like, putting up with it or dealing with it, it was like, I used to think that God was trying to develop a trait of forgiveness, or, you know, like, God was trying to teach me something through my marriage, and I don't know if I'm getting what he's trying to teach me, or, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
You know, that's a really interesting perspective, and I think you're right that a lot of people think that way, at least at some point. They're trying to make some sense of it, and so it's like, well, now let's make more sense, okay? I'm logical. Do you think logically?
I try to.
Okay. All right. That's what we want to do.
Okay.
Logically, we would want to know, since you brought God into this, what has God said about violence? You mentioned this. It's domestic violence, and we're going to talk about what's happened. But I'm going to tell you that this is an area where many people will have different opinions, and they will be opposite opinions, and the people who have those opinions will care about you. I mean they will genuinely care, but you're going to hear opposite things.
Right.
So how do we think about this? You're going to be advised, is it safe to say that you would be advised to stay, and you'd be advised to leave?
Yes, ma'am. That's correct.
Okay. Now, that is as common as can be. So, what is God's heart on violence? So, do you think, now, would God then cause the violence so that you could learn a lesson? The problem with that is, I did this years ago. I was in Russia, I was in the former Soviet Union. I might have been in Ukraine. And I looked up every single verse on violence in the Bible, because all of a sudden there was a brouhaha that several hundred people were in, and here were these women, and there were men over there too that were all pastors, but the women were saying, a woman should stay, a woman should leave. I mean, it was, I'd never seen anything like it before. And so a seminary president said, June will is going to address this topic on Saturday. Everybody's to be here at Saturday. And I'm thinking, I'm to address this topic. Well, actually, and this is, this was in the 1990s. And so we had material on this topic, but I hadn't done it this way. We now have a section called God's Heart on Violence, or God's Heart on Domestic Violence. And so we looked up every single scripture that addresses violence. And what I found is, sweetheart, not one scripture is positive. For example, we see specific verses that I think are important. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Mm-hmm. This is God's heart. Colossians 3:19. The Bible says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. Now, you think about that in your situation. If there is domestic violence, he's angry, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. It's the Bible. Do you want to be biblical?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I thought you did. Proverbs 22:24. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. Meaning you have a biblical right to move out of harm's way. You have a biblical right to move out of harm's way. And so what does God really think about violence? Well, Ezekiel 45:9. Give up your violence and oppression and do what is just and right. So do you see that God would never, he would never endorse it when he's saying, give up your violence, stop. And so what I'm saying is, by the way, God gets blamed for all kinds of things that he disapproves of. But some people will make it that, oh, well, this is God's will, or God's plan is to use this to for your good. The Bible, listen to this.
Okay.
Psalm 11:5-6. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. On the wicked, he will rain fiery coals, burning sulfur, a scorching wind will be their lot. Wow. So what we see, do you get my drift here?
Yes,
if you look at all verses on violence, again, which I did, not one was positive. So it's not that God is planning for violence for your good. Now, can there be good? Oh, yeah. In fact, some of the most effective people in helping other people who are victims of domestic violence are those who have been experiencing or had experienced domestic violence themselves. So, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think you have more compassion for someone who's a victim of domestic violence compared to the average person?
I would hope so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why? Because you understand the pain. You, in fact, can I assume that you understand even the things that happen before it gets violent? Before it gets violent?
Yes.
There is an unpredictability. You don't know when there's going to be an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, it's controlling you. I mean, it's designed, that anger is designed to control. And if it's, now, there are men who actually are There are men who are victims of their wives' domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the norm, and mm-hmm. most men don't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
They could feel weak. I just talked with a man today about this. He's a pastor who actually addresses at his church, and he took our material, and probably not ours exclusively, but he used our material, and he taught. And this is a articulate man. He was part of the program today. That's why I'm saying he's articulate. He's on the board of the Hope Center, this pastor. And he said it's a minority church, and I'm saying that because he said men don't want to admit that they are victims when they really are. Now, again, that's not the norm, but I can tell you this. It is very... biblically, if you look up the scriptures, God is angry about those who hurt others. And here's a little hope for you. I say hope. It's, you know, some people say, well, why doesn't God stop it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I understand that language. The issue is God's not the perpetrator here. It's the abuser. It's mm-hmm. the violator. God isn't being abusive. And so listen to this scripture. It's 2 Thessalonians 1:6. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. So ultimately, it does not go well for those who choose to harm others. And there's all this intimidation that occurs. So now, when we come back, I really want to hear what is going on. And I'm going to also say this. I grew up in a very unpredictable home, and I was beaten once. Boy, I'll never forget it. But that was not my main focus. I was hurting for my mom. Mm-hmm. And so I care about you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
I care that that your thinking be lined up with God's thinking.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org. Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart. And make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support, and we want to thank you for that. If you have questions about this or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address your situation and what's going on in your life. Call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and can help you access those resources. Let me recommend to you the Keys for Living called Domestic Violence. There's no excuse for abuse. Also, Verbal and Emotional Abuse, Victory over the Power of Abuse. Again, those resources can be accessed as you get in touch with our customer support team, and their number is 800-488-4673. Also, check out our website at hopefortheheart.org/store. Find the new updated Keys for Living, Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's many biblical resources, and you'll find it all at hopefortheheart.org/store. Let's return to our conversation now with Sarah.
All right, sweet Sarah. I want you to tell me what has... I know that you said that incidents, they are about 1 year apart, one or maybe two apart, and it's repetitive. So something has not been effective. In other words, a lot of times in real life living, people get into real trouble. And that means that all of a sudden it's like, whoa, wait a minute, I'm not going to do this because I'm in trouble if I do that. Now, that's the positive thing about, for example, law enforcement. Mm-hmm. A person could get arrested. In fact, right. Many people do get arrested when there is domestic violence. But some will say, oh, no, I would never report what my husband has done. I would never report blah 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 because and they're too desperate for attachment. They're just desperate. And so okay, now I want to hear from you. You said this started when you first got married, not before, is that correct?
Right. Around the time I got married.
Okay. And you've been married 10 years.
Yes, ma'am.
So, what was, you describe the first time. What took place?
I really don't remember. I mean, I was young. I was probably in my very early 20s at the time, since we've been married 10 years. I don't remember necessarily what the argument or disagreement was over, but the first insult, I guess, was that he spit on me.
He spit on me?
And I guess because we were, you know, kind of like newlyweds, it just had to happen within either the first 6 months of the first year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just being a believer, I said, okay, this is something to forgive, you know. We got the pastor involved, and then we kind of moved from there. And then I think maybe a year or two later, we got into another disagreement, and this was over his child at the time, but he pushed me. He pushed me, and I fell down, and I hit my knee. And I'm sure some time lapsed in between that, and I didn't report any of these to the police. I think the police may have been called at that incident, but it wasn't like I didn't report anything. And then I think it was maybe a year or two later, I was miscarrying, and I'd just been resting, you know, on pain medication and stuff like that. And I remember being picked up, like out, like he was going to throw me over the stairs, but he didn't. And then maybe the time before that, he picked me up and, like, pushed me towards the dresser. But I think I was grabbed by my neck because I remember having marks, and I didn't do anything then. And I'm sure maybe a year or so probably went by between that one and then. The second to the last one, I was pregnant. And this is the first time that I actually, like, tried to reach out to a domestic hotline or really thought about it, because this was the first time that I was actually hit and I was pregnant. And I know I said something that triggered it, and then I was sitting down, and then he hit me. And then this last time, something happened probably about a month ago, that led me to actually leave. I was assaulted. He pulled my hair and my neck popped, and something bad happened after that, but I guess I probably don't really want to say it on the call. It's kind of embarrassing. But I told my sister about that incident. Actually, somewhere in between my family, and starting in December, this past December, I started to struggle with anxiety and depression. I thought it was maybe coming from a business that I was trying to resolve, but, like, the more I tried to, you know, I tried to quit a business, a home-based business, to be in God's will and be there for my home, and then the anxiety and the depression wasn't lifting, it was just getting worse. And so somewhere in that, I ended up trying to seek medical treatment, and my family, my husband said something to me that I didn't like that was insulting about my mental condition at the time. And I said, this is enough. I called my sister and I said, you know, I've been putting up with this for 10 years. Nobody knows about my abuse. But now that I'm trying to get help, I feel threatened, you know, with the comments that were made. And so I told one of my sisters about what had been transpiring, what I just shared with you. And then it just kind of made its way through my family. So they became aware. And then about a month ago, when I thought all of this was over, because the last time I was truly physically assaulted was 2 years ago when I was pregnant. But then just last month it happened again, and that's what is leading me to our conversation right now.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to make one comment about what you said. I deeply appreciate the timeline. You've been very clear. You said, I did something to trigger it. Sweetheart, I'm going to say it this way. I know a lot of men, and I'm going to say that, right now I'm thinking about my two best male buddies. I think the world of them. I have the highest respect for them. There's nothing that either of their wives could do to trigger violence on either of these, by either of these men. I'm going to say it again. These two men, Randy and Tom, I can tell you there's nothing that either of their wives could do to trigger violence against either of their wives. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
You are not doing something to trigger it. In other words, the person who is violent is going against the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
You, in fact, sweetheart, you don't have the power to make another person sin. Have you ever thought of that? You don't have the power to make someone sin. That's their choice, their individual choice. That's, in this case, your husband's individual choice. So it's not about you. It's a character flaw within your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that make sense to you?
Yes, ma'am.
And this is where many times women, they will accept the blame.
Mm-hmm.
And in part why is because what is typical is you're being blamed. By the way, I don't have any crystal ball, and I don't want a crystal ball. I don't believe in crystal balls.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever heard something like this? If
if you didn't do this, then I wouldn't do that.
Right.
If you didn't do this, then I wouldn't have hit you.
Yeah.
If you didn't do this, and as though, no, honey. That's what's called blame shifting.
Mm-hmm.
Blame shifting. It's called the blame game, except it's a game that's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's vital that you not buy into this. That you not, if when somebody's trying to put the blame on you,
mm-hmm.
Don't, some people say, don't let that monkey get on your back.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a common expression, but that means this is not your blame to carry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a choice that a person makes. The violator, the abuser,
mm-hmm.
that's their choice. And they're going to try to blame you so that they don't feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Malachi 2:16, I hate the person who covers himself with violence, says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting God's heart on violence?
Mm-hmm.
I hate the person who covers himself with violence, says the Lord. Malachi mm-hmm. 2:16. So, having said that, what is being said to you? I understand what is going on in general
mm-hmm.
with your husband. And this is, by the way, have you heard the term boundaries? The
yes,
word
yeah.
boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A boundary is a line that should not be crossed.
Mm-hmm.
If the line is crossed, think about a curb. When you're driving, do you drive a car?
Yes.
And I figured you did. Are you allowed to drive on the sidewalk?
No, ma'am.
Why not?
It's illegal. You could hurt someone.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. two reasons right there. It's illegal. You could hurt someone.
Mm-hmm.
You could hurt the car. You could hurt the building that it runs, you know, whatever. You can kill someone.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sidewalks are supposed to be safe for mm-hmm. pedestrians. So the point is, if you have a policeman standing right there, and all of a sudden, if you were to decide to drive on the sidewalk, what do you think could happen based on the policeman being right there?
He'd probably arrest me and take my car and put it in the pound.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, so my point is there's a repercussion.
Mm-hmm.
There are two R's where boundaries are involved. There's a repercussion if you cross the line and do something wrong, or if you stay within the boundary, in other words, stay on the street, the reward is you get to keep driving and driving and driving wherever you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So boundaries are often a major part of when someone is violating a law, violating a person. And so we'll talk about what can you do. But before we do that, I want to hear what is being said to you by people who indicate that they care. What a meaning of, you know, like family or friends.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
You're listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get back to our caller in a moment. If you have questions about what salvation means, please call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They are available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central, and they can point you to the free downloads of our quick reference guides through our website, hopefortheheart.org. Again, that number is 800-488-4673. You can also call them to get your copy of the Keys for Living that we're kind of mentioning tonight and highlighting. Domestic violence, there's no excuse for abuse. Also, verbal and emotional abuse, victory over the power of abuse. Again, that number, 800-488-HOPE. Now let's return to our caller, Sarah.
All right, sweetheart. I just want to say I am so, so sorry. I hate this for you because it's so unsettling. It does not give... When you talked about how you have been increasing in anxiety and depression, you said it's getting worse. That's because there's not security. You were created to have three needs: love, significance, and security. When you don't know when a violent person will erupt, that keeps every person on edge. Everyone who experiences life with someone who is committing domestic violence, there's no security because there's not that person is not taking responsibility to do what is right in God's sight. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. So I wanted to ask, what are the significant people in your life saying to you?
So for the duration of my marriage, no one has known about it. But when it did become public, my mother started, not public, but, known amongst my relatives. My mother was telling me, that's not the issue. Your depression and your anxiety is not coming from loneliness in December. It's a culmination of what's happening to you over the course of your marriage. So I think I was disbelieving her, but at some point I really started to try to see maybe her point. But since this last altercation, I've had, I think, 10, I've counted, 10 or 11 friends that are female, some of them believers, some of them non-believers. A lot of them are my family, but some of them are my friends, and they keep telling me, like, I've had strong, no, don't go back at all. Biblically, I don't know if that's right, but don't go back at all, to try to reconcile. And then I've had others say, you need to be apart from him for a while. And, you know, that's what I'm really struggling with the while. You know, I've been away from him for a month, me and my little girl. This is the longest in our marriage that we've been separated. Mm-hmm. But that's the majority of what people are telling me. And every now and then I'll get, like, just, you know, kind of, are you trying to work it out? But not necessarily, you know, any advice on what to do, like whether mm-hmm. to stay or go or how long to be mm-hmm. away from him. But most people are telling me that I don't need to go back home, not ever or not right away.
Well, the truth is, if there is not a confrontation, if there's not intervention, the mm-hmm. classic thing, those who are who live in this world of helping victims of domestic violence, they will tell you it will get worse.
Yeah.
It starts out here, but then it typically increases in frequency and force. That's why a cycle has to be broken. Let me give you the cycle. I'm just going to give you, and by the way, I'm going to send you, sweetheart, I'm going to send you our material on domestic violence. There's no excuse for abuse. The cycle is three stages.
Mm-hmm.
And the first is an agitated state. And by the way, when you mentioned anxiety, there's
mm-hmm.
anxiety and tension marks the beginning of this phase of abuse, where an abusive husband commits, first is communicating dissatisfaction over something
mm-hmm.
small and blames his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then by inflicting verbal and emotional abuse, he maintains a passive psychological control over
mm-hmm.
his wife. I'm talking about, this is what is just, again, classic. Therefore, there's fear, and that creates a type of pain. But this is just the agitated stage. And during this stage, many victims buy into the lies spoken to them, which I mentioned to you. They accept, therefore, responsibility for the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is not ever the victim's fault.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what's been said or done. To be exerting physical force against a mate is wrong, always. And the Bible says, from the full fruit of their lips, from the fruit of their lips, people enjoy good things, but the unfaithful have an appetite for violence. They're not faithful to the Lord. Do you agree with that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So the next stage from the agitated stage is the acute stage. And this is when the pressure becomes so intense that the abuser erupts and gives just full vent to his rage.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, violent behavior is unleashed, and sometimes police are called, family members, outsiders, you know, that they're called upon to diffuse the rage.
Mm-hmm.
And during this acute stage, it doesn't last long at all. But over time, the overpowering outbursts become more frequent and more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs 29, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the tricky one. The third stage is the apologetic stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes called the honeymoon phase.
Mm-hmm.
So the abuser, and you haven't mentioned this, but this is what's typical, where the abuser becomes contrite.
Mm-hmm.
It could be even sweet. But
And so the abused person, like you, feels soothed by these outward loving actions.
Mm-hmm.
And actually gives a sense of hope. Well, maybe he's changed.
Right.
And yet, I'll just say it's confusing because typically, now this is not always true with the abusers, but they could be saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I promise I won't do it again, or accepting responsibility, or gifts,
mm-hmm.
Bargaining, you know, if you won't do this, then I promise I'll do that. You know, there are promises, there could be remorse, there could be tears. However, there's a vast difference, listen to this, there's a huge difference between remorse and repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Repentance is a change of mind with a change of direction. It's a mm-hmm. turning away. Whereas the remorse can just be, sorry I got caught. Or sorry, it's now out. But that doesn't mean there's change of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And a fabulous scripture is this: godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. So think about it. Worldly sorrow, what is that? I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry there's a big deal going on, but there's not repentance, which means a change of mind with a change of direction. So can you identify with any of these three stages?
Yeah, well, right now my husband, you know, he's saying that he's sorry and, you know, he wants things to be better and, you know, he's ready for home. You know, Mother's Day is coming up. He's got something for us, and at the house waiting on us. I kind of identify with what you're saying. I think, you know, I ask myself genuinely, like, I'm a believer. I make mistakes. I try to, I guess that's what I have the hardest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you do understand the apologetic stage. Yep, the problem is, how long do honeymoons last?
I don't remember. They're not long, though.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's a honeymoon. It's usually to try to win you back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I believe people can change? Absolutely. But it's got to have structure. It has to be with wisdom and... it's not just taking somebody back. There have to be, in other words, has he gone to counseling for this?
We've been to, I think, maybe two marriage counselings. He's not an individual counseling himself, but we talk about it.
Well, what is in place that he knows that if he were to ever touch you again, What is in place? Are there specifics that he understands will happen if he uses any force against you again?
I don't think so. We've not really talked about that.
Okay, do you understand how important that is?
Yes, ma'am.
This is why, you know, a lot of people, they go, oh, okay, I want to not go more than 10 miles above the speed limit. Because they know they can get a ticket.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, now, let me ask, would you like for us to talk again?
Yes, ma'am.
I think we might need a little more time. What do you think?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I'm going to ask our listening friends, would you pray for our friend, we're calling her Sarah. She obviously wants to do what's right.
And yes, people can change, but what's in place to enable a person to understand this, you know, this must not ever take place again? And what responsibility is he taking? So we'll talk about what to do with our keys on There's No Excuse for Abuse.
We will send resources to tonight's caller. We'll do that free of charge. Due to your generous support of this ministry, we'll send along the keys for a living called Domestic Violence. There's No Excuse for Abuse. We'd also like to recommend to you the keys for a living called Verbal and Emotional Abuse, Victory Over the Power of Abuse. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE, anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. Our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out our broadcast app. You can find past programs there as well. And it's called Hope for the Heart. It's a free download. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.